Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is study number 27 in the book of Genesis, and we come today to Genesis 28, verse 12. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up right where we left off, talking about Jacob. It says in verse 10, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." God sends his good angels on missions to earth. This stairway full of angels that Jacob saw is God's way of showing us that there is a constant flow of angels between heaven and earth. They are sent by God, they do their job, and they return to God. Verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This was a major encouragement to Jacob. He did not have to worry about wild beasts or his brother or robbers killing him on his journey. Not only that, his goal will be accomplished. He will find a wife. And I say that because God is telling him about all the descendants that he will have. And you can't have descendants if you don't find a woman or you die on the way. 15. "Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." God promises to keep Jacob wherever he goes. Verse 16. "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Jacob knew all along that God was everywhere. However, he was not aware of God's presence until this dream gave him a spiritual jolt. And Jacob is now living in the awareness of God's presence. He knows deep down inside of his knower that God is with him. 17. "And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob was not afraid of the anger of God. He has just been assured of God's kindness. Jacob is afraid of the greatness and the glory of God. Verse 18. "Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it." The oil marked the stone, so that he would recognize it when he returned that way. It was a memorial of God's goodness and mercy. 19. "And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously." Bethel means house of God, and that is the perfect name for a place where you have experienced the presence of God. 20. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and keep me this in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on." Now, the word "if" is not a sign of doubt. Jacob is not saying, well, I don't know. God says he will be with me. I'd sure like to believe that, but no, he's not saying that. Jacob is saying, since God will be with me, and since he will take care of me. 21. so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. Not that he wouldn't be Jacob's God if he didn't do all those nice things. God is not a God for hire, and Jacob doesn't expect him to be. Jacob is saying, when God does all these things for me, it will stir me to serve him as my God even more. 22. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Jacob tells God that he will give him 10% of his income, and the 10% will help those who God called to minister, whatever form that would take back in those days. It would be used to, no doubt, provide sacrifices, maybe given to the poor. One thing is certain, that 10% will be set apart for God's use. Chapter 29, verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. Went on his journey is literally, he lifted up his feet. That sounds like someone who just got a big shot of encouragement. And that would be Jacob. Verse 2. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back on its place on the well's mouth. Jacob arrives at a community well. The shepherds from that area would meet and together remove the big, heavy stone that covered the well. They would then water their sheep and afterwards help each other put the stone back. Verse 4. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. Then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. Boy, you talk about God's leading. You have it right here. Jacob travels 500 miles without a compass and without a road map and without a satellite tracking system and still manages to end up exactly where he needs to be. Verse 6. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. They say, yes, he and his family are doing fine. And then, just at that moment, Rachel, his daughter, shows up. This is the providence of God in action. God directs all things so that everything happens at just the right time, including this, verse 7. Then he said, look, Jacob said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be watered or gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. Now, Jacob is being kind of bossy here, I would say. He's trying to tell these men how to do their business. And I also think he's trying to get rid of them before Rachel arrives. Verse 8. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together, and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. They say, we can't just water our flocks and leave. We have to wait for all the shepherds to get here. Then we all do it together. 9. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. When Jacob saw Rachel, he moved that big, heavy stone all by himself. Now, if 5 minutes earlier, those shepherds would have said, Jacob, move that stone for us, would you? He would have said, by myself? Are you kidding? I can't do that. But it sure is amazing what we can do when we really want to, when we're motivated. I don't know what motivated him. Maybe he was just showing off, but he did it. Verse 11. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Rachel is probably thinking, who is this crackpot that is kissing me and crying? Fortunately, verse 12 is there. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, so that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Well, Jacob tells Rachel that he is her cousin. And she then runs to tell her father. Verse 13. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. Jacob fills his uncle Laban in on all that has happened, how his parents sent him to look for a wife, and how God talked to him on the way and assured Jacob that he would be successful. Verse 14. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. And during that month, Jacob worked for his room and for his food by serving Laban. 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" No, he should not work for nothing, because the Bible says the worker is worthy of their pay. 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And to a man like Laban, daughters were like stocks that could be cashed in. Some man comes along and says, "I want to marry your daughter." Well, back in those days, the dad would say, "Okay, well, this is what you have to pay me. You have to pay me a bride price." 17. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Rachel had beauty. So all it says about, and all it says about Leah is that her eyes were delicate or weak, which may mean that her eyes were blue, not brown, like most people from that area. In that culture, blue eyes were thought to be a sign of physical weakness. 18. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Now Jacob did not bring any money. The only thing he could offer Laban for his daughter was hard work. And Jacob was willing to work 7 years for Rachel. You have to love someone to work 7 years for free just to marry her. 19. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." Notice carefully Laban's words. He did not say, "Okay, Jacob, it's a deal. 7 years for Rachel." Now, he clearly led Jacob to believe it was a deal, but he never gave Jacob a straight answer. If someone can't give you a straight answer, don't trust them. Jacob will learn that the hard way. 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. 7 years of work didn't seem like it was that bad of a thing, because it was for Rachel. No one in their right mind would apply for a job, you know, that would demand working for free for 7 years. But, you know, when you love someone, you're willing to do it for free. And he certainly was willing to do that for Jacob. And we'll pick up our study in Rachel. And we'll pick up our study in verse 21 next time and see what happened at the end of that 7 years of hard work for Rachel. Until then, so long, everyone.